Well, now we're just getting too crazy because now we're talking about mint mashed potatoes, Mom. I can't go there.
Welcome to another holiday edition of Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, a show for people who embrace the warm and cozy spirit of everyday living in the Midwest. From the blog Random Sweets, I'm your host, Stacy Mergenthal. Since I can remember, my mom, Linda Moe, has shared dozens and dozens of delicious goodies at our family's Christmas gatherings. So today we're talking about most of them, like vintage treats from her mom. There's mashed potato candy, cherry Bing bars, and a fruit salad with a cooked pineapple dressing. And then we toss in a few of the newer recipes that she's added over the years, like Ritz cracker cookies, corn pops clusters, puppy chow, our family's version of a taco dip. We get healthy with veggie pizza. We make caramel corn chips, Chex Mix, and orange chew-ins cookies with orange sliced candies in them. Of course, we love our bars in the Midwest, so we're talking about the ones with our take on candy bars, like Mounds and Babe Ruth, and then 9x13 pans that start with a box of cereal, like S'mores, Caramel Rice Krispies, and Peanut Butter Krispies treats, and our Christmas classics like 7-Layer and Mud Hen bars. We each share a funny memory from Christmas's past, like what happened to my mom's forgotten kisses, and why my sisters and I brought large totes with us to Christmas at my mom's one year and we headed straight to her spare bedroom. You can get all the recipes that we talk about today on randomsweets.com. And if you're new to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, welcome. I'm just so excited that you pressed play today and that you're here. And if you've been here before, I'm just so glad that you came back. If you love what you hear, please subscribe, rate this podcast, and take a second to write a quick review so that we can keep these great episodes coming. Welcome back to Funeral Potatoes and Wool Mittens, Mom.
Hello.
Episode 2 with you.
My second podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, woohoo.
Becoming a real pro. Mm-hmm.
The first episode that you did was in February because we talked about the birthday cake and the vintage snow frosting that you make. And so that was season 1, episode 12, back in February of this year. So today I asked you to talk about your Christmas baking because my sisters and I have such good memories of all the baking that you did when we were growing up. That baking was just something that I think we probably just thought was normal that everybody does.
Yeah.
And now I'm learning that that's not necessarily a tradition in every family. And as a baker now myself and older, I know how much work goes into that. So when you're planning a family get together, there's all the cleaning and the prepping and the setting the tables and making the meals. But then somehow you manage to fit in baking that we all remember. So I just wanted to talk about some of the recipes. And you've already mentioned, as we've just been getting ready for this, mentioned a few different things that you baked that I had forgotten about or that I'm not quite even sure what is. So I'm excited to hear some of those today. And then you yourself, as you were thinking about it, you said you had remembered like the Ritz cracker cookies and some things that we did that you hadn't remembered either. So we're kind of going down Christmas memory lane here in the in the kitchen, and I just cannot wait. And
I will say it's bringing back good memories for me too.
Yeah.
It was a lot of work, but I don't know how I did it either, but you can almost smell some of the things.
The first thing that I was asking as I was thinking about it, like, I don't remember Christmas without you baking a lot of goodies. Now, how much that means or what those things were, I couldn't tell you. I just feel like I always remember in our family in general, too. So when we would go to Grandma's, your mom, Grandma Janet's, she would have goodies there, too. So I think we're just a family of bakers. We love our sweets. We're Norwegian, German.
Yes.
We love our sweets here in the Midwest. But the first thing I was thinking is, when did you start doing all that baking? Do you remember kind of how that?
Not really, but I know my mom worked at the hospital in the laundry. And she worked always 5 days a week. She had Wednesday and Sunday off. So Saturday was not weekend for her, you know, for prepping. And We got married in 1969, and we started the cakes at Christmas time for your dad for birthday. So that got me into more baking. He had a favorite cake, so we had chocolate cakes. And then Mom, as she aged and she had rheumatoid arthritis really bad, and baking got more difficult for her. And I had more time and energy back then in my 20s. And so I started doing some of the things, and it was just, I always liked to bake. So I guess it just kind of gradually, it wasn't that, can you do this year? I can't. It was just, well, why don't I make the fudge kind of thing? Mm-hmm. So it was more gradual, and just, and it wasn't that I was assigned to, I just, I loved doing it, and it relieved a lot of pressure for Mom, because the first years we did have our holiday meal at Mom and Dad's, and they had a very small house too, so.
And Grandma still managed to, I mean, I still remember her making her krumkaka and lefse, and those are things you could make far in advance.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
She made the heritage things.
Right.
Not just sweets.
Yeah. And then the date cookies.
Yes.
And
because I don't like them, so I didn't want to bake
them. And Heidi loved those. Yeah. And her white sugar cookies. I don't even like to call them sugar cookies because it's so different to me than a sugar cookie. But her grandma's white cookies is all I call them, I guess. But she would still bring those.
And that was because of my dad. That was his mother's recipe. And that was my dad's favorite cookie. And they were a lot more work. She did the more intense work.
Yeah,
recipes.
Those.
And I did the where you made a 9x13 pan all at one time.
Yeah. Those white cookies, they do take some time. I'm the the maker of those now at Christmas time. And I always think, Stacy, make sure you leave yourself enough time to make Grandma's white cookies. Because if you can't show up with anything but those, like that's the one thing I know that I have to bring to Christmas. So, Well, do you remember where you got your recipes? So you have all kinds of things, and they didn't come from Grandma because they weren't necessarily ones, you know, maybe a few of them might have come from Grandma.
Some were from Mom.
But some
were ones that I know Mom and I just discussed, or you try this one and I'll try that one. And I don't know how some of them came about, or you might be at somebody else's house and they're serving, so you get the recipe from them because it's tried and true. You've already tried them without all the ingredients and work, so they just filter in. It's like any other normal dessert or anything. You go to someone's house and it's so good, and would you share the recipe?
So at your peak of baking for Christmas, do you know how many, I don't know why I have this number stuck in my head, like 22, but how many sweets, different kinds of things did you make?
That would be pretty close. It would be up to a couple dozen different things.
Different kinds of things.
And usually it was the same thing each year. And you usually didn't drop anything. You might increase it because you found something else in the year's time that was good. Mm. So, okay, well, instead of 22, I'll make 23 this year kind of thing. And then you get to the point where this is ridiculous, all this. So then you kind of start weeding out which doesn't go as well, or which did I have so many left, and which is most popular. And those years started much later on, but you would just kind of start weeding them out. You go from 22 to 21 to 20.
Well, and you kept a list, but unfortunately in moving and different things now, and because of our family getting bigger, and now Callie and Heidi and I host Christmas and we do baking as well, so everybody bakes a little bit less than what we have.
Well, you would hope.
Well, we do, though, because my baking list gets smaller every
mine
year.
Mine sure has.
I start out thinking I'm going to make a lot, but then I end up only making, say, 4 things, and I thought I was going to bring 10, right? But anyway, you had this, like you said, a stenographer's notebook with the notes from the years, what you made and what didn't go so well, or maybe what to back off of the next year or make more of because it ran out. Yep.
I even had what I served each year and like how many pounds of potatoes I had peeled for the meal that year. Did mm-hmm. I have leftovers? Was it too much? Do I need to make more? Yeah. And unfortunately, I think I have destroyed that thinking I'll never need that again.
Or, you know, you'll probably find it in a couple weeks. You'll be like, oh, there's that list I was looking for.
Yeah, it's possible, but not probable. I think it's gone.
But that's a good thing, though, for people. If somebody's younger and listening to this, I do the same thing. I have journal books that I keep notes about different things I've baked, or we maybe cooked something. Jason worked for a while on perfecting a recipe for like a spicy red rice and beans. And I just kind of make notes in there. And then we have that to look back on. Well, we just had Thanksgiving for Jason's family. And I sat down with that book and then wrote in there how we made the turkey, because we made it ahead. We brined it. We smoked it. How big it was, how long it took. I made notes because we didn't take it out of the refrigerator on Thanksgiving morning soon enough. And so we were an hour delayed in our meal because it took longer to heat up. We made, I think we figured out about 15 pounds of potatoes, and there were 15 or 16 guests. So we had a lot of leftover potatoes. And then I didn't have a plan really for all those leftover potatoes when there wasn't sort of a matching amount of turkey and dressing and things like that. So to make those notes, because I know I host Christmas next year for our family, if we do the turkey like that, then I'll have the notes about what worked or what to do different. Right. I even put in like what crock pots we used for which things, and yep. It just makes things go so smooth. So I think it's smart to make notes after you host and what you've made and all those things that you'll forget. You think you'll remember, but you'll forget by next
yes,
year.
Definitely.
Could you think of any recipes, anything that you made that you thought, I'm going to try this, and then it didn't go over so well at Christmas?
Well, after the first few years and the list got to be in the 20s of what I was bringing each year, if I couldn't get rid of anything, I didn't add. It was just the tried and true.
Sure.
And it's like now I ask you three before I make anything, what do you want me to bring this year? Because it was getting so three or four of us would make Chex Mix.
Yep.
Each one made them just a little different. One likes the little fish crackers in it, and one doesn't. And one likes nuts, walnuts, and one doesn't and such. So instead of everybody bringing the same thing, it's a lot nicer to just bring a few things. Mm-hmm. And some things, as I was saying earlier, so you just kind of pick and choose what is the favorite. And I have enjoyed with you three girls making your items too. I'm enjoying trying new things because you're not making the same thing that I always made. It's not like, okay, I'm going to quit making these four things. One of you make those four things. You might bring four things, but they might be all new.
Right.
And that's kind of exciting every year, too. I think we need little placards by everything, though, so we don't have to keep yelling, who made these? What is it?
Right. No, that's good. And my big question would be, and does it contain raisins?
Oh, yes.
But I think most people know better not to put raisins in things at Christmas.
You won't find raisins in anything that I make.
No.
Because I don't care for them either. I had way too many when I was a child.
Well, let's back up to, well, first of all, so we're going to talk about some of the recipes specifically of that you made. But right now, the way we do it is, Mom, you'll text my sisters and me, Heidi and Callie, and say, I'm going to start doing my baking list. What do you want me to bring? And so we'll each text you one or two things that we really just love that you've made. I know me, I'll always ask for the Forgotten Kisses. I think Callie does too, but I don't know.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you.
Yes.
And then I used to like the Cherry Bing Bars as well. But then I know for sure that I like, and my kids really like, the Rice Krispie Bars that have the peanut butter in them and the chocolate on top. So what does Callie ask for?
She also likes the Forgotten Kisses. And Heidi likes the Cherry Chewins, is what the recipe is called. Or not cherry, orange.
Orange, okay.
It has cut up orange slices in a kind of a brown sugar dough and orange slices.
Yep.
That's the main thing. And I know Heidi likes the date cookies. I have made them, but not necessarily at Christmas. That it might be something that I just make some other time in the year and take to her. And for you, you do so much of your own baking that it's hard to pinpoint one thing and surprise you with it. So that's why in February I did the birthday cake. That I knew I was going to get to surprise you with that one.
Yep. No, that was really cool. So you have your recipes in front of you, and you have kind of kept your, I think you said that in your big box there that you have a ton of recipes. You rubber band the stack. And there's 20 some recipes in there, I swear.
Yeah.
And so she has this stack of recipe cards, and she rubber bands them, sticks them in her box. So when it's time to get out, do Christmas, she has them all in one spot. So tell us what's in that stack.
Well, this is one thing that I have not made for a while. There always had to be brownies and then the fudge frosting on it. And I do not make brownies anymore. It's so plain compared to what the holiday baking is. So I don't do that. And 7-layer bars, always made those. I haven't made those for quite a while now. On the Borden Eagle brand sweetened condensed milk, this old recipe of magic cookie bars, I don't make those.
Wait, are those the same as 7-layer bars, the magic cookie
Pretty
bars?
Pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
A couple different things in it. I know you don't care for coconut, and there's coconut in those. So.
I will in those. What I do is I put it right on the top and make sure that it gets a little bit crispy.
Oh,
so
toasted.
If it's toasted, then I'm fine with it.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So okay. I really like 7-layer bars because I love sweetened condensed milk and butterscotch.
Oh, well, it's like candy. I mean, all the different things you put in, it's basically all sugar. Everything.
Exactly.
Right. Chex Mix, I used to make like 3 or 4 batches of that. Mounds bars, it's like Mounds candy bar. It's a graham cracker crust and sweetened condensed milk and coconut. There again, not your favorite. And that I have cut in half, but there again, you might end up throwing half that can away. Puppy chow, that was always a big thing. I still make that about every other year.
And I know my kids really like puppy chow too.
But I'm not the only one that would bring it. So if that's not on the list of what your replies are to bring, I don't bring it because I figure, well, someone else is making it. We all have so many of the same recipes. So
true.
Mud Hen bars. I haven't made those in a very long time, but those always had to be.
But I want to know, that's one of them that you mentioned that I was like, wait a minute, I don't know what those are. And I don't have Mud Hen bars in my recipe box from you.
Oh, really?
So what is that?
It's shortening, sugar, egg, flour, baking powder, salt, nuts, semi-sweet chocolate chips, mini marshmallows, and brown sugar. And it ends up kind of a light crust that cracks on the top.
Is it almost meringue-y cracked on
yes.
the top? Oh,
yes.
See, I think I probably like those, and I bet I do need that recipe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Taco dip, of course.
Oh my gosh.
There will not be a holiday in the family, I don't think, that taco dip does not come to. That is a long tradition. And that was a recipe I got at 3M.
Oh, okay.
We had potluck for holiday, and one of the other gals in our shift brought this taco dip. And I know others make it with queso sauce and stuff. I don't like spices and peppers and all that, so mine is very plain. It's just hamburger, Velveeta cheese, cream cheese, and Hormel chili without beans.
Yeah.
So, but that's the way I prefer it. But I know you girls, when you make it, sometimes it's got the... jellies and stuff.
I don't do it differently, but Callie does do it. Callie uses queso and stuff and likes her spicy. She might use some sausage in there too. So she hers is a little bit different, but we make sure we have that taco dip. And sometimes I know my sisters and I were just talking about how we've been doubling or tripling the batch and it's too much. We end up, whoever makes it goes home with too much of it now. So we'll probably bring it in just a smaller batch, but
well, that one's really good. You can continue to bring in the big batch and I'll start bringing a tote.
Okay. Okay. That's funny to us. Why?
Story.
Yeah. You need to tell that story. We need to interrupt this recipe list for mom's story.
You want to do that?
No,
now?
You. Yeah. But you tell the story because I forgot about it.
Oh, well, of course, when I still got to host the holidays and host Christmas, it would be very crowded because we'd have close to 20 people and I didn't have a large house. But I would store all my goodies. It was just always called the goodie stash, mm-hmm. back in the stairway to go to my attic because I wanted to keep things cool, mm-hmm. and I didn't have an attached garage, so everything just stayed cold into the stairway for the attic. So all my cake pans, they'd be stacked on the steps going upstairs. Well, the one Christmas, the girls had kidded me that they were going to bring their totes for the leftovers, and I'm thinking more the meat and potatoes kind of leftovers. In walks all three girls with these big totes. And I mean, they were good sized totes. They weren't like shoebox sized.
They weren't Rubbermaid contained, like little kitchen things. They were big totes, like moving totes.
Yes. And they walked straight in the back door into the kitchen, through the dining room, and back into the bedroom. And I heard the door close. And I thought, what the heck? So I figured, well, okay, they're prepared for after we eat, and they took forever to come back out. When they came out, they had already gone through all the goodies that were in the stairway and picked out what they wanted. So what we got for goodies for the afternoon was the leftovers of what they didn't take.
Well, I can guarantee you we didn't, like, clear any one specific thing out.
No, but nothing was cleared, but it sure made serving a whole lot quicker.
You
so
needed?
It wasn't as much to put on a platter.
We were helping you out with platter space.
Yes. And that is one other thing that I learned through the years, is when you are done baking, put them, cut them up, make your assorted platter. Don't mm-hmm. just leave them in the pans. I made that mistake for a few years where when it came time for the goodies to come out, then you sit there and open up all the pans and you got to take out piece by piece. Mm-hmm. And it took forever. And it was like a light bulb came on and I thought, now, why am I not doing this before everybody arrives?
Yeah.
And then just cover the platter. And it really cut down on the prep time.
Yeah. Plus, it probably helped even with you cutting them and then taking them out. I know you would put them in like Tupperware containers to mm-hmm. store them, like on your steps or somewhere nice and cool, because you needed some of those pans to bake another batch of something else.
Oh, yes.
It's not like you had 25 cake pans and you baked a lot of bars.
I had a lot of cake pans.
Well, I don't remember washing 25 cake pans at a time, but that's how I feel now at Christmas, but
Yeah. I often had, if I needed 9 by 13, mm-hmm. It would be quick, get it cooled, set it outside or in the garage or something to cool it so that you can get it out of the pan and reuse the pan again. Yep. You always had hot water in the sink, always, because you always had to wash something, measuring cups or whatever.
Yeah,
I learned I got multiples of more things.
And you and I are the same. We're always washing dishes while we're baking, like constant. There's water in the sink. And by Christmas Day or whenever we're hosting, our hands are just about raw.
Yeah, I've never had a dishwasher. So
And
that's fine with me because I prefer just to wash them by my hands. Yeah. So
and my baking stuff, mostly I don't put in the dishwasher. And I can't. When you're baking and baking and baking and baking, you need these pans again. You need these spatulas again. You need the mixing bowl again, right? I'm not going to run the dishwasher.
Right.
That might happen at midnight when I finally go to bed and I'm just like, just toss it all in and go to bed, whether, you know, but... But back to the totes. I mean, that was a joke that we played on you, which was funny, and I had forgotten. But it's because you're so generous that you would always let us, either you gave us containers or would say, you know, make sure. Part of your joy, I think, the joy that you had of baking all of that was you really enjoyed saying to us before we would leave, and especially when our kids were little and we weren't, I know I wasn't doing much baking. But you would let us bring a lot of that home, and then we would enjoy it over the next few weeks. And the kids, your grandkids got to enjoy it. So
yes,
that was really fun.
Very true.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I was single. So what was I going to do with it all? Mm-hmm. I know these days when I have extra things, I put little containers in the mailbox for the mailman. I've never heard any bad review from him, but...
And you're still getting your mail, so...
Yes, I still get the mail. And a couple neighbors that don't do a lot of baking, I'll mm-hmm. take things up there, because you make a 9x13 pan, and I always make something, of course, that I like, mm-hmm. and I would sit there and eat the whole thing, so I've got to get it out of here. But I enjoy baking,
right.
Not cooking so much, but I do enjoy baking, and I have nothing to bake for anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That is one thing I do miss. I mean, yeah. it was fun and a lot of work, but I actually miss making a lot of that.
Right, right.
Because now I can do it all within just an afternoon. Mm-hmm. I might make 4 things. Well, it's all done right away where... It used to take days, and
right.
24 hours wasn't quite enough in the day.
Yeah. Well, let's go back. I think we stopped at Taco Dip. Let's go back to the pile before we forget that pile of recipes.
And I'm not sure where this came from. I think it came from you, the caramel corn chips. I think you started that.
Yeah, because I was at someone's house once that made them, and I was like, oh, no, I'm not going to try those because I don't like sweet and salty. Well, I tried them, and that's what got me started on liking sweet and salty like that. So mm-hmm. I got that recipe from a friend, yeah. The caramel corn chips.
I think all of us make that for not necessarily just our family, but to take to other events, because
mm-hmm.
it is delicious. It's addicting.
Yep, that's why we have to share
addicting.
It.
Yes. Orange chew-ins, that was Heidi's favorite, that has the... cut up orange slices. That has a coconut too. A lot of these things have coconut, so mm-hmm. I don't know how you've gotten all these recipes from me because they have coconut.
Well, I don't make the orange chew-ins. Remember that one year I was going to make them for Heidi, and then at Christmas you guys are like, where's the orange chew-ins? And I said, well, I didn't make them because there's something weird in there. And you're like, there's nothing weird in there. And I said, yeah, there's something in there that I didn't know what it was. I didn't have it, so I couldn't make the orange chew-ins. You're like, there's nothing weird in there. So I took out the recipe and I said, yeah, nut meats. I don't know what nut meats are. I don't have that. And you're like, they're just nuts, Stacy.
Chopped up nuts.
But I wasn't used to recipes. Now I can see in older vintage or community
recipes.
Yes, they were called nut meats. And now we just call them nuts.
Yep. It's like shortening used to be called lard.
Oh,
one
sure.
of these recipes still had in parentheses lard
mm-hmm.
because that's how old these are.
Yeah.
Chocolate clusters, which is the sugar pops and...
Yeah. The corn pop cereal with chocolate. And is there peanut butter melted in the chocolate?
Yes.
And then you're stirring in corn pops and
chocolate,
like a dry roasted?
Butterscotch chips, peanut butter, and cereal and peanuts.
Yeah, I loved those. And I have that recipe on my blog.
They're addicting also.
Yeah. I love anything with butterscotch and peanut butter and, oh my goodness.
Yep.
Yep.
And Forgotten Kisses, which is just a meringue with, last year, I don't think it went over so well. I used little peppermint chips in it.
And I've used, or did you do this with the little mini cherry chips too? But I keep going back to just wanting those chocolate chips.
I tried cherry chips, I think, the year before. And then last year, I tried the little peppermint, crushed up peppermint in it. And I think it's just to go back to the little mini chocolate chips and chopped up nuts. And in those, I do like chop twice, put them through the food chopper twice.
Yeah, they're very fine, which I like.
Yes.
Because the meringue of that Forgotten Kiss is so light. You don't want a heavy nut in there.
Right. And you don't want a big chunk of nut.
I put the Andes Mint pieces in there once, too. And again, they're fine, but I just go back to the classic with the chocolate chips. Now, that is the one thing that I'll ask for you to bring, because I love those. And I've made them before, but I love yours. But do you want to tell the story? Do I get to tell this one?
You can tell. You can tattle on me.
You tell me if I tell the story right. I just remember, you know, we requested that you bring the Forgotten Kisses. I don't even remember where Christmas was at. But it's time for the treat time, and all the treats are out on the tables, and I'm trying to figure out where are my Forgotten Kisses from my mother, and they're not there. And you said, oh, where are those? Where did I put those? And then you're like, oh, I did forget them in the oven.
That's because
they were forgotten.
They go into the oven overnight. Mm-hmm. You heat the oven, I think it's to 250 or something like that. And put them in and then turn the oven off. And then you leave them in overnight, which in my mind, you literally leave them in overnight. Now, you could make them first thing in the morning and take them out in the evening. Yeah. Same amount of time, but nope, overnight. And of course, I like to make those last minute so that they're really dried out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because otherwise, they kind of take moisture out of the air again. Yeah, well, I made them the night before our gathering, and in the morning I got everything else. That's another lesson I learned. Anything that I need to take, write it down, make a list, of even if it's to bring a serving spoon, write it down.
Or the whipped cream for pumpkin pie, because who can eat pumpkin pie without whipped cream?
Exactly. So as you're getting ready to leave the next day, check each thing off as you walk it to the car so that you know it's gotten along.
We joke about that every year about whether they actually got forgotten in the oven or
the Forgotten Kisses got forgotten.
Right. But those are really good.
Pineapple dressing, we always had that same salad, and that was a recipe from my mom. I don't know. A lot of her recipes came from her working at the laundry at the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Because the laundry was right next door to the kitchen, and all the ladies would have break together. And of course, what are you going to talk about but recipes, you know? So a lot of things came from her coworkers at the hospital. I don't know if that was one of them or not, but I remember it from being at my aunt's and uncle's. So, I mean, she made it for many, many years.
And it's a fruit salad, right?
Yes.
That has like this pineapple dressing.
It's a cooked dressing. You drain the pineapple juice and you use it and flour and eggs. Put eggs in it and you boil it until it's thick. And that's the hard part, having the patience to get it cooked down, reduced down.
Okay.
And that too, where it to drain the pineapple, it just says pineapple. It doesn't, and can sizes have changed through the years. So, and it makes a difference if you use ring pineapple, you have more juice than you maybe have if you use a can of tidbit pineapple. And I usually do the ring, and so I end up having to. It's basically like doubling the recipe. Evidently, there wasn't much juice in the pineapple years ago when this was created, or a smaller can of pineapple. I use the regular, I don't know what they are, 20 ounce or whatever now. So,
does that have marshmallows in it?
You can put. Now, for me, I wrote pineapple, bananas, fruit cocktails, strawberries, marshmallows, coconut, chopped nuts, grapes, pears, peaches, oranges, apples. For options. So if it's something I had on hand, or if I use canned, or if I sit and go through all the recipes and make, you know, what I am going to make and what ingredients I need for each thing. About the only other thing is veggie pizza. I kind of started going to make healthy treats. And I crave veggie pizza every now and then. Yeah. So,
what do you make yours? Do you do crescent rolls?
Yes.
And then is it a cream cheese ranch spread?
Yes. Crescent rolls and then cream cheese, mayo or salad dressing. I don't care for mayo, so I use the salad dressing. Mm. And then the ranch dressing mix. And there too, I wrote down carrots, broccoli, cauliflower, celery, green and black olives, radishes, onions, peppers, cucumbers, grated cheese, an assortment of all different things. So if it's something I have on hand or I may not have thought of it, like radishes, I'm not fond of it, but if I'm going to take it somewhere, it's a little more color.
Yeah,
it's pretty. I might not put so many on, but a little color. Mm-hmm. So, and the only other thing that I have in my pile is the chocolate cake and the snow frosting, which is not my Christmas baking, but it's in my pile that I use over and over.
Plus, because of Dad's birthday being on the 23rd of December, you were doing all of this, plus doing the big Christmas, I mean, Dad's birthday party, which there's a podcast episode out there with my dad, his ice cream, but all the work that my mom was doing for Christmas and Christmas baking. Then there was also this birthday party on top of it. So
it got to be those last years as families grew, I was baking four cakes and I always made from scratch. I didn't use cake mixes. So it was four chocolate cakes, all the same thing. At least I had enough sense to not do a yellow one and a white one and a chocolate one. It was, everybody got the same thing. It was, but we needed four chocolate cakes to supply all the people. And yeah, that was on the 23rd. So it was getting the house cleaned, getting the cakes baked, all the ingredients for the ice cream, go out and buy the cream from a farmer south of town. And then after everybody left, clean up again, because the next day was Christmas Eve and I'd have my parents over since it was just my brother and I for family. So then it was get everything cleaned up again from all the traffic we had. I believe it was 68 people in our house the 1 year for the birthday. And we just kind of shuffled. If you were in the living room, you moved to the family room. If you were in the family room, that bunch moved to the dining room and worked on a puzzle. And if you were in the dining room, you had to move on to the living room. But to get it cleaned up and make chili for the next day. And then after they would leave on Christmas Eve, then it was unwrapping a couple gifts. Everybody got to unwrap and then clean up again and get up early the next day and stuff a turkey. And
That was our Christmas Eve meal then, was chili. I was trying to think of what we had, but it was chili.
Usually chili. Yeah.
Well, I went through my recipe box and thought, well, I'm going to see what's in here that I remember Mom making at Christmas. And surprisingly, I think I have a few in front of me that you didn't mention. So,
well, I was going to say, I also did the Ritz crackers with the peanut butter in between and then dip them in chocolate.
And I do those now.
I
love them.
For a long time. I don't know why, but I did a lot of labor intensive ones. I mean, to sit there and spread peanut butter and then dip them all, you handled them more and more.
Yeah. I do those now. And I feel like that was one thing that I helped with at Christmas baking. I don't remember doing any of the others, but that was one thing that I remember helping with, the Ritz cracker and peanut butter.
Well, that was so easy. You, even being little kids,
you
can put peanut butter between two crackers and it was just going to get covered with chocolate anyhow. So, and the other thing was I always dip pretzels.
Well, my recipe pile here, so it had the Mounds bars, Babe Ruth bars.
Oh,
I don't think you had those in your stack. And I love the Babe Ruth bars. It tastes like a Babe Ruth candy bar. Even better, I think.
I'm going to have to find that recipe. I forgot about that.
And the one that I have here actually is handwritten that you wrote. I didn't write this one. But that one has your butter, brown sugar. And then again, there's peanut butter. But then oatmeal, corn syrup, and vanilla. Oh, did I say salted peanuts?
You said peanuts, I think.
Oatmeal, syrup, vanilla, peanut butter. They're salted peanuts, yeah.
The Cherry Bing bars I didn't have in my stack here either.
Right.
But that's one that I quit making also because it makes so much and so little goes because of the quantity of
right.
goodies that we have at Christmas.
And that one was always a favorite of mine. And I was looking for that this morning and I couldn't find it, but I know I have it. The Cherry Bing Bars.
That was from Mom. I don't know where she got the recipe, but I got my recipe from her.
So I did try to make it. It's been quite a few years now, so I feel like I have more baking skill under my belt from the first time I tried to make it, but I totally messed it up. I don't know. I don't even remember.
You said they were runny.
They wouldn't set up, so I think the cherry part on the bottom didn't set up, and I don't know what I did, but I would always like that you made it, but you're right. It makes a lot, and I wouldn't eat enough or take enough home with me to make it worth making those. So that's
that's as sweet as fudge. So, I mean, even an inch square is plenty big. You could get 3 bites out of an inch square of that.
Yeah, it's very much like fudge.
So it goes a long, long way. Mm-hmm. That would be something to take more to an exchange so that you knew everyone was going to take from that.
Yeah. Then I had the magic cookie bars. So that was like the 7-layer bars and the crispy bars. So those are the sugar, white corn syrup, peanut butter, Rice Krispies.
That's an always normal one. That doesn't even have to be in this pile.
But not everybody has a recipe for this. And I don't know if I've made them because I just like that you bring them at Christmas. Oh. So now I'm thinking I need to make these because Sarah Peterson that I met, she has the blog Vintage Dish and Tell, and her mom makes something very similar. There's maybe one or two different ingredients swapped out like this, but not everybody has that. You know, they're doing Special K bars or Scotcheroos. This is along the lines, but it's not the same thing.
But it's not.
No, this is different. And I know my kids really like that one. And then the caramel Rice Krispie bars. Remember your caramel Rice Krispie bars?
Mm-hmm.
And so I made those one time. And what did I not know or think? And so I feel like I doubled.
They are so rich.
I doubled the caramel because I thought, well, that's
my word.
I thought that's not enough caramel, so I'm going to double it. And you had to eat those Rice Krispie bars with a fork.
Yes, I'm sure.
It's not good.
Yeah. I got that recipe from a gentleman at work.
Okay.
One of the machine operators. I mean, usually it's women out in the areas that I had worked at, but it was a gentleman and he was a big baker. He loved baking. He would bring treats quite often. And
he brought these, huh?
Yes.
So there's caramels, sweetened condensed milk, margarine, marshmallows, and Rice Krispies. So you basically...
You think there's some sugar in
there? Yeah. So if I remember right, I mean, yeah, you're putting a little bit of Rice Krispie mix on the bottom and then this caramel mixture in the middle and then more Rice Krispies on the top.
So it's like a caramel sandwich.
Yeah. Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Your s'mores bars. So we always have loved your s'mores bars with the golden grahams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The golden grahams. So that was on my list here of things that you make that we loved. Even more than what's in your pile.
I was going to say... I've got like 3 piles here, so I'll bet it's in another.
Okay, so then here's one that I wanted to talk to you about because I feel like this was one that I remembered or that I liked and you would make it because I liked it. But I see there's coconut in there, so it's the mashed potato candy.
Yes. Yep.
Were those dipped in chocolate?
Yes.
Okay.
They're labor intensive too. Mom used to make those. That was more her thing. And then I took that over later when her hands were so sore.
So here's what I'm wondering. When I had Thanksgiving this year, we had way too many mashed potatoes left over. And I didn't make them garlic or anything like that. They were just a plain mashed potato. Can you use leftover mashed potatoes to make this candy?
You could, I think. Normally you put milk or cream and butter in your mashed potatoes.
Definitely ideal.
In the candy, it's just pure mashed potatoes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Without any addition in it. So I think it would just be richer if you used your leftover because you had to have butter and cream in it.
And I do usually add some salt. I try not to add too much. People can add their own, but I definitely add some salt. And I use salted butter when I make mashed potatoes. So you couldn't really, I was just wondering, we had so many leftover mashed potatoes. Could I have made this candy?
I think you could have. I mean, it's just going to be richer.
Okay.
Which, that was the thing to me, that and the veggie pizza are the health food treats.
We are really healthy in our family.
Because with the potatoes, it's not quite as much sugary.
So, oh my gosh. Okay. The mashed potato candy is 3/4 cup warm mashed potatoes,
and
4 cups of
warm.
Coconut. Okay.
It blends better.
4 cups of powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And then 12 ounces of chocolate chips and 1 ounce of unsweetened chocolate. And so the candy part is the warm potatoes and the coconut and the powdered sugar all mixed together and then rolled into balls. And then you chill those.
Yep.
And then
dip them in the chocolate.
You melt the chocolate chips. And then this one has something that we don't see often, a half a bar of Parawax.
Mm-hmm. That's so that it hardens on the outside.
What would you use that today?
Will harden.
Would you use that today, or would you use something else? Or I don't know what Parawax is.
It doesn't need to be kept so cold if it has the wax in it.
Okay.
Where otherwise you don't want the chocolate sitting out.
Oh.
You know, it gets soft. You try and pick it up, and it gets soft.
Mm-hmm.
Where the wax combined in the chocolate will seal it enough, you could leave those sitting out on the counter.
Okay.
Because the potato part too is going to get soft.
So, I just I'm laughing because I'm like, this is mashed potatoes and powdered sugar together.
Yes.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
Right now I'm thinking, oh my gosh, it sounds so weird.
Yeah. And I don't know where Mom got that recipe. It's one from her that I... uh-huh. copied from her.
Yeah.
I don't know where she got it, but she always made those.
Okay. Well, this might have to appear back at some point so that we can decide if we like potatoes.
Have to make them. Well, I'm assuming you can still buy wax.
Oh, that's what I'm like. Where am I going to find a pair of wax? But,
yeah,
or did people use something different now? I don't know.
It came in a box like a pound of butter. Same shape. Mm-hmm. And it had oblong planks.
Okay.
Of wax in there, and that box would last for years
because you're using chocolate chips, and that just says chocolate chips, so it's probably semi-sweet because then you're using 1 ounce of unsweetened chocolate as well.
There weren't all the choices of chocolate
sure.
chips back then.
Yeah
I'll bet that would be kind of good with a mint chocolate chip.
Well, now we're just getting too crazy because now we're talking about mint mashed potatoes, Mom. I can't go there.
But you wouldn't know it's mashed potatoes. It tastes just like a Mounds candy bar.
Right. Well, I mean, people, they're using black beans or in brownies, right? In brownies or
applesauce.
Yep.
Instead people, of oil. And
anyway, well, mashed potatoes and powdered sugar. I'll stick with that for now.
Okay.
Without adding mint to it. If we asked you, what would you like us to make?
Oh, I'd have to think about that for a little
bit. Okay.
I
was just wondering.
I'm trying to think what Heidi had that...
Her almond bars that has like the white creamy almond frosting with slivered slices of almonds. Those are amazing.
I was going to say you do an almond tart.
Oh, yeah. The almond tort or whatever. But Heidi's almond thing. I need her recipe because...
What we need to do is... If you're making something different than what our normal has been, do a screenshot of the recipe just in case it goes over well and everybody wants it. Mm-hmm. And then you don't go home and think, now, what was I supposed to do?
Right.
Oh, yeah, so-and-so wanted the recipe. Yeah. I was thinking there was something 2 years ago when we had it at your house, something Heidi had brought. It was different and just really yummy.
I know she made the most amazing... charcuterie board that was so beautiful. And for Heidi, she's an artist, you know.
Yes.
So that's her love language.
That's her craft,
coming with something delicious but beautiful.
Yeah.
Whereas me, I'm just like, I'll toss a pan
she
of bars on the counter and I don't care what it looks like. I just want it to taste good because I don't have the creative beautiful mind like she does, where her stuff just looks beautiful.
Yeah, I like the presentation. That's what I enjoyed about having the meal at my house. I loved using the china and making napkin rings and using actual cloth napkins and putting the creative rings on them and setting a pretty table with the water goblets and centerpiece. That was the enjoyable part. I didn't mind that at all.
I did not get that, Jean.
And see, I love ironing the linen tablecloth and putting that on so it's pretty.
I'm terrible. I'm so terrible. And Callie does a good job. I remember one year out at the farm, her tablescape and everything that she took the time to do all these little things, they were beautiful. They were picture worthy. I mean, I was taking pictures because everything, and all three of you do that. And then when you come to my house, you're lucky if you don't get a plastic plate and silverware. It makes me whatever. But we're each to our own, right?
Yep. Our own little specialties.
Yeah.
But it's, I mean, others look at the way I did the tables and china and stuff as, oh, I know you girls always said, just use paper plates. Mm-hmm. No, I enjoyed doing that extra labor and things, that a labor of love, because we had so little of that ever. I mean, we always had decent dishes. We didn't use paper plates for every day, but we didn't go to any extremes to make it beautiful or anything. So, I mean, once a year was just not too much to go a little more elaborate and have something beautiful.
Well, I don't have any other recipes. I can't think of anything else, but
it'd be nice to get some feedback on the mashed potato candy.
Yeah,
what so people think, because that is a very, very old, old recipe.
Or if somebody's already done it, if they're like, "Oh yeah, we've made that for years in my family,"
if that's someone else's family heritage,
we'd love to hear it, because you know
exactly
it's something different for our family. So,
yep.
Well, Mom, do you have advice for somebody who, you know, now we have my kids are, Kalani just turned 24 and Sajan's 22 for a little bit here. Just that age where we have kids who would be starting out as baking or whatever. What advice would you give?
I'm hoping that some traditions don't just fall by the wayside.
So who's going to hand, you know, where some
who's
of these going to get passed down?
Some of this, Yeah, it's not a worry, but it's sad. And I'm sure it happens in every family. Even my generation, when I look back on what my grandparents had. Mm-hmm. I mean, we used to have oyster stew at my grandpa's.
Thank goodness we don't do that.
was only 9 when her mother died. So grandpa carried that on. Yeah. I remember as a kid going to his house and having oyster I shouldn't say having oyster stew. It was being cooked.
You were scoffing at oyster stew, as do I.
Yep. I just sat there and ate just milk and dry crackers if I had to not eat the oyster stew. But
sure.
I mean, every generation has lost something, and when is it going to just die out?
Right, right. But, and then when I look at it too, I make recipes that you didn't and Grandma didn't. And Heidi and Callie do too. And Garrett, I know that Garrett makes Dottie bars. That was a big thing always in Heidi's family. Heidi would make. And I think Garrett, he has actually taken that over now. He thinks he makes those better than Heidi. So he makes the Dottie bars. And I know Katara makes things. So I think there'll be new things. But some of this that we talked about today that I remember may not get passed on in my
family.
Some
of it, I mean, I didn't take over doing some of this until I was married. Mm-hmm. Well, Kalani and Katara are not married.
Right.
You know, once they settle into a married life and start having families and things, then some of these things mean more at that time. And after I had my own family, it's like, oh, yeah, that was so much fun. I'd like to do that, too.
Do you have advice for how to, you too like your stuff really fresh, and so you wouldn't do much ahead either. How'd you get everything done?
No, I don't do much ahead. The only thing that I like to do ahead is know what I'm going to be making, and so that I can start grocery shopping and have everything. Mm-hmm. And I will take a tote and put the ingredients for each thing in the tote. because there again, in the stenographer notebook, I had that list of each thing.
Oh.
And I would put like Rice Krispie peanut butter bars. I'd write that on a line. And then I would put half cup peanut butter, one 13 ounce box of Rice Krispies. I'd put the ingredients on that same line. And then at the end of the page, when I'd think, okay, this is what I'm going to make. Okay, add up how much peanut butter did I need total for everything. Mm-hmm. So I go, okay, this one needed a half. This one needed a cup. So, you know, at the bottom of the page, I need X amount of peanut butter to make all these things. I need X amount of chocolate chips to make all these things. And then I would know what I needed from the grocery store. So that needs to be started a couple weeks ahead. And on a budget, I like to know it at Thanksgiving and gradually if something was on sale. Okay, I know I need this for Christmas baking, you know, kind of thing.
And we always think we want to do more than what we need. And nobody knows what was on your list. That's the biggest thing is all these years when I'm thinking to myself, oh, there were three things I still didn't get baked. Nobody knows that. I didn't show them my list of what I'm bringing and then not show up with it.
Yeah. You just want to make the first things you make are the ones that everyone would miss if you
Grandma's white cookies.
Yes. Stacy.
Yep. I'd just say, I forgot.
Forgotten, forgotten
I forgot. I forgot them in the oven. It worked for you.
No. And you need to be kind to yourself.
Because nobody cares. Like I said, nobody knows.
Exactly.
And nobody
cares.
It's
not like there's not going to be food.
There's something wrong when, what did you say?
When the goodie table takes up more space than what the turkey, stuffing, potatoes, veggie, everything.
Meal. I like what Heidi's done. She still makes a lot of treats and things. And then she has her own Christmas with her boys and stuff. So she's doing all this baking. But I like what she's done now. She's not bringing a whole bunch of containers to our Christmas. Like what you said, you're doing a platter of a lot of things and bringing that. Oh, well, Mom, thank you for just talking about Christmas and bringing back these good memories. And just know that we've always enjoyed it and appreciated it. We appreciate it now more as we're older and know how much work it takes to do all of that. But just, you know, we're going to carry on some of them. Each family carries on different
Recipes. Make new. And you also are combining with your spouse's traditions.
Yeah.
I mean, we had it so in our family where your dad's parents were gone so early.
Right.
And my parents were still around and we lived in the same city all everybody's lives. So we had it so handy.
Yeah.
So everything was the same all the time. We had that tradition that was easy to keep going because it was just us.
Well, Mom, thank you. I really enjoyed
this.
You're
very welcome. It's enjoyable. Thanks. And it brings back memories too.
I just don't think that I can try mint mashed potatoes. We talked about a lot of goodies today, and the two that I requested for my mom to make this year are her Forgotten Kisses with the mini chocolate chips and her peanut butter crispy bars with the melted chocolate on top. Now, my three prioritized recipes that I have to make no matter what else I get done are Grandma Janet's white cookies, my frosted cream cheese cookie cutouts, and marshmallow cream crunch brownies. If I have more time to bake, I also want to make fudge, almond tort, uber duber peanut butter brownies, and my all-time favorite marshmallow chocolate cream cheese bars. If you're interested in the caramel corn chips, I did a quick Bake With Me episode that walks you through that short process in season one. It was episode 21 back in May. I think it's like a 14-minute episode. But you can get all the recipes on randomsweets.com. And if you're liking this podcast, please share it with your family this holiday season. Thank you for listening today. I'm your host, Stacy Mergenthal. Merry Christmas, God bless your family, and sweet wishes.